program. Welcome to Come On. It's still good. I am your undefeated champion, Reagan. With me, as always, is my brother, Ryan.
Hello there. And joining us is our other brother, Box Office Rob.
Hey.
Along for the ride is our producer, E. We are Koji, the only show on the internet where we break down retro movies to see if they still hold up and then put a stamp on them. Today, we break down Hudson Hawk. It's got Bruce Willis. It's got Andy McDowell doing dolphin impressions. I don't know. Doesn't ring a bell. She's doing dolphin impressions, apparently. Is that singing?
Hot.
It might be hot. You don't know.
I don't.
That's throwing a lot of judgment out there. It might be hot. You might be into it. And it might open up a whole new genre for you.
Doubtful, but I'm open to anything.
Is there any animal call that you would be like, I need this. I need to see like a duck call. Like hot chicks doing duck calls in the bush.
You know, I have
like the wilderness bush, by the way. Like,
to this moment, but I have to say the answer is no. This is not a.
I don't think you gave it a real shake.
I was thinking of a few animals, but
duck wasn't your first go-to.
What people are into is what they're into. I support everybody and their things, but I just can't think of an animal that, you know, I'm sure in like the furry culture and stuff, that's a big thing, but it's just
not, you know, and it probably is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Rob?
Elephant, right, Rob?
No.
A tiger?
Oh, weird. I did not expect you to deviate to furry culture.
Look, we explore
your group.
Everything. It's fine. Yeah, if you want, what was it, scarfing?
Scarfing.
What?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, scarfing. No. Scarfing is when like the furries like hump on each other. Scriffing.
Okay, whatever, man.
Look, I'm a man of the world.
Okay.
Scarfing, scriffing, it's something out there. Our producer is feverishly typing. He's looking it up. I got to see his searches for some time from this show. It's got to be ridiculous.
It's going to be like Scoodle or something. I don't know.
Something like, I think they mentioned it on a CSI episode. Didn't they do it on CSI Vegas? I think where I know that information from. It's probably wrong.
Yes,
but it's stuck in the back of my head. That's the furry dry humping. But this movie also has singing and what some might call comedy. What else do you need?
In a world where you can carry moonbeams home in a jar, one international box office megastar who moonlights as a harmonica player will attempt to combine action, adventure, musicals, and screwball comedy into one epic film. He will miss wildly, but hey, at least we still have Planet Hollywood. Catch the excitement. Catch the adventure. Catch the Hawk with Bruce Willis in Hudson Hawk. Or would you rather be a fish?
But before we get to the movie, let's see how much the Hawk stole at the box office. Yiffing? It's yiffing, I guess.
Yes. Yeah, you were close.
Show me the money.
Show you the money.
Show me the money! Show me the money!
All right. Hudson Hawk, 1991. All right, let's see. You know, you haven't seen it, Ryan, so it's going to be hard. Here's your choices for the budget. How much do you think it cost? We've got A, $21 million. B, $43 million. C, $65 million. D, $77 million. Or E, $98 million.
First off, you know where I've got to go with this because you put it there. But all those numbers, I would have guessed lower than every single one of them. And I would have said A. But we just did the A.
It's not A this week.
I know you're baiting me with the 77, but I'm taking it anyways. It's 77. You can do whatever you want, Ray. It's just baiting me. I know it.
I was going to lean towards A, 21, because I can't see this movie costing a lot more than that, especially in 1991, but he did A last week, so I'll just go to the next highest, or next lowest number, B, $43 million.
Right.
Well, this movie actually costs $65 million.
Oh, wow.
Bruce Willis is expensive. A lot of locations.
Yeah, I'm going to take a wild stab before he gives me everything. We can still go through everything, but I bet you it made less than A. But anyways, go ahead and tell us what it went up against.
This was released in May 91, so, you know, movie season. All right, up against, we have the same week, we have a bunch of movies that came out. We have Wild Hearts Can't Be Broken.
Okay.
We have Drop Dead Fred. Which one?
All right.
Let's see. We have Only the Lonely.
These all sound familiar, but I don't remember anything
about Only the Lonely, John Candy, Drop Dead Fred's like a
imaginary friend.
I remember that one. Wild Horses Can't Be Broken is about a daredevil who rides horses off high dives. Starring Gabrielle Anwar.
Okay.
Reagan knows who that is, I'm sure.
That name sounds really familiar.
It's Fiona from Burn Notice.
Oh, yeah. That's why that sounds familiar. I was like, that name, I'm going to Google it later.
All right. Also, we have Thelma and Louise opening that weekend. And Backdraft.
Oh, Backdraft won the week.
All right.
I saw that at the premiere at the Uptown. I saw Backdraft.
Did you?
Yeah, I sure did. So I know where I was. I
was going to say it sucks. It does suck.
It does. Right,
the fire knows where you are.
I enjoyed it as a middle schooler. What year was this?
91.
Yeah, as a middle schooler. But I was already kind of making fun of some of the scenes leaving the theater in 91 as a middle schooler. And then when I saw it later, I realized the movie's trash. But we can watch Backdraft again. But I guarantee you won't like it as much as you think you do.
I've watched it within, it's probably been about 10 to 15 years.
Yeah.
I watched it in Atlantic City at a casino one night, and it was a great night.
As one does.
Yeah. A friend of ours, Jamie, and I were in a hotel room. We're like, you want to watch Backdraft together? And he was like, of course I do. And we watched Backdraft together like bros do.
That's right. Okay, well, I can guarantee you Backdraft beat Hudson Hawk, as well as Thelma and Louise, as well as Drop Dead Fred.
And I bet everything beat
the Wild Hearts.
All right. Hudson Hawk. All right. Wait, there's more coming in the theater.
Right. They still beat Hudson Hawk.
There's more things that trampled it at the box office. That's what we hear of these are.
All right. We got What About Bob in its second week.
Yeah. That's also I remember.
We got Madonna, The Truth or Dare in its third week.
Oh, cultural phenomenon. Especially like, that.
That went with her book, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still never seen it, but I know.
She just plays Truth or Dare for like an hour?
Basically. It's just a bunch of dick talk and stuff, you know, like. As far as I know, you would have been into it in the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
And we got FX2.
Oh, that's the one with the famous rap scene, right? Where he pops the hole in the mouth. Yeah.
He gets a sonnet or whatever from Insurrection.
I'd say check out our back catalog, but it's really just check out our back show notes. Yeah, I don't remember what episode. You got to find it. That's a deep cut. You got to be a super fan to find that one somewhere out there. Don't remember what episode.
There's a link to it. Was it in one of the movies or was it in one of our shows? Like a Koji TV? Or
it was something that reminded E particularly of that scene with his mouth getting covered, but it wasn't.
Oh, it was Leftovers.
Yeah, okay.
Right. I forgot He was doing the I like to choke myself out with the bag, but I don't go all the way or whatever he says to his wife.
I don't
finish or whatever.
Obviously,
right?
Yeah. So well, I guess if he does finish or he goes all the way, he doesn't have to tell her anything ever. He's finished. What a dark show that we laugh at.
It's a great show. You should go back and watch it again.
I would rather just talk to you guys about it all over again. I don't know if I want to watch the whole show again.
It's just season one. We just have to do season one.
Let's get back. So Ryan thinks everything beat Hudson.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I mean, well, actually, it's
Drop Dead Fred might not have beaten it. I think Drop Dead Fred did too well either.
But I'm thinking of this logically now. The people panned it, so people had to go see it to hate on it, right? They didn't know what it was going to be. So it might have had a...
I don't think it got good, like... Preview.
Good reviews.
Yeah, like, I don't. I think it was getting panned and Siskel and Ebert were like two thumbs way down.
Right.
Actually, they probably weren't doing the way down bit. They were just two thumbs down in 91.
All right. I'm still gonna say everything beat it.
Yeah.
And it made less than A. It made like I'm gonna give it a little bit of money. I'm gonna say it made $7 million.
I'm gonna say it made $43 million.
And where do you think it came in the week?
Oh, dead last.
Dead last. Okay.
DFL. No.
Actually, only two of the movies I mentioned to you beat it.
Backdraft
did win the week. It beat Thelma and Louise.
Oh, okay. Really? Drop Dead Fred.
No.
What About Bob?
Yeah.
That's it. What About Bob also beat it. And this movie made $17 million.
I was going to go 17. I thought it was too high, so I cut the one off. I can't believe it.
You were right. It didn't make it 21 or the 24.
Oh, yeah. You were right on the money with that.
Did it release overseas?
I did not see any international numbers for it. So they say it also performed poorly because it was, while it was an absurd comedy, yet it was marketed after it as a straight action, almost a straight action movie, right after Die Hard 2. So
yeah, that's
they just totally silly. Just, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. The number, maybe my website, Wikipedia is now saying, yes, as the producer just mentioned, there are worldwide numbers, but my search for the numbers.com has failed me. Yeah. Apparently it made 80 million overseas, so that would make Reagan's number much better guess.
Yeah, I'm still way off though.
Maybe it was only released.
And that means it would make that means it made money. Yeah.
Maybe the numbers.com needs to be retired for these services.
Or maybe they just didn't like Hudson Hawk, so they didn't put that much effort into it.
Okay. Maybe.
All right. Well, let's take a quick little break and we'll come back and we'll steal a breakdown right after this.
This is not a dream.
Not a dream.
We are using your phone's electrical system as a receiver.
You are receiving this podcast as a dream.
We are transmitting this from the year 2999.
You are receiving this podcast in order to alter the events you are hearing.
You must subscribe, like, and follow in order to avoid a causality violation.
The
future needs your help.
Save the podcast. Save the world. End of line.
Break all the fucking mirrors!
Subscribe.
Money isn't everything. Gold is. Fuck blue chip stocks. Fuck junk bonds. We've got the real deal.
We're back from that break. It's time to break down Hudson Hawk. So let's get it started. 3 minutes, 17 seconds. Black Eyed Peas. What did you guys think?
I like that music.
Memories.
Timing. I like that. You hated it.
I couldn't say
it. Yeah, but I thought it was cool.
Really?
I thought it was a very good way to mark time. Although,
if you were listening to the actual song, singing it.
What he's saying is he's
how
good enough.
How often do you get distracted?
That's what I mean. I couldn't do it because I'd get distracted, lose my place. But if he's that focused and whatever, yeah. I think it was a funny bit to go back and forth to.
Yeah, yeah.
You hated it. It's fine. But I like it because... I thought it was a pretty good way to do it. But like the guy even busted his chops and said you could just wear a watch, right? Like right? Like it'd be a lot easier. But so they
could just do both. He could do both. So if he does lose himself in the song, he could just look at his watch and be like, and then pick up at another part of it.
Supposed to say how like focused and dedicated he is to his
craft. How good he is.
Maybe 10 years ago, whenever he went into jail before E.T. That is true. They also had watches before he went to jail. So this movie is trying to blend action and comedy almost seamlessly. I felt that they wrote two different movies. They wrote an all-comedy version of this movie and an all-action version of this movie. And then for each minute of the movie, they took pages from the comedy scene and put it out here. We're like, we'll do this. And then the next minute, they took some from the action scene and put it in. And they just layered the movie that way.
Yeah.
Did you guys get that feeling?
No. No, oh, okay. I can kind of see what you're saying, but I think they knew what they were doing the whole time, whether or not they executed it well.
That's the question. I feel like it was a screwball comedy the whole way.
Yeah, but I think it definitely ramped up towards the third act. As soon as he had that scene where he was like punching back and was punching or kicking, I can't remember where he was going back and forth.
Oh, like up and down, up and down.
Yeah, when it hit that point. It's like they really hit the gas on it being kind of over the top ridiculous, you know, and then the whole who's double crossing who's working for who, you know, like all that, you know, was nuts. It reminded me of that Key and Peele gun skit, you know, like everybody's, you know, it's just you didn't know who it is. And honestly, I watched the movie. I probably couldn't tell you all the ins and outs and turns of what happened. It doesn't really matter, honestly, right? Like, there's three characters that matter, and they all live in the end somehow.
Well, yeah, there's the candy bar people.
Yes, which I thought was funny with the different names and having Butterfinger be, like, the big dumb...
Ophi guy. Yeah. I mean,
having the one guy dress up like a statue. You know, like they all had their things.
David Caruso from CSI Miami.
Yeah.
But they don't let talk. Someone we know can deliver great one-liners.
Right. Well, we didn't know that then, I guess, right?
Right. Like,
Was he at NYPD? Was it NYPD Blue he was on before
CSI? Was it NYPD Blue?
Yeah.
No, definitely before.
It was before this movie, before Hudson Hawk?
Oh, no, I think it's after.
Yeah,
I think he's very young here.
Yeah.
Was it Kit Kat?
Yeah.
When Kit Kat gets double-crossed and shot with the arrow or whatever,
right.
And all those cards fall down,
yeah.
How does he communicate with that many cards? I thought he was handwriting each one.
Oh, because they were like typewritten.
Well, maybe he has great penmanship. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, he's just very good. He's like a, you know, magician. He knows, you know, the side of the deck, right? Like he can feel it.
So if he's like, no, like say he's full. He's like, I don't want any more food. I need to take a shit right now. He has that on a card.
I don't know if he's going to say, I need to take a shit right now. He could say, I'm full. I'm sure that's something like that. Yeah.
But what if he has to take a shit right now?
Why do you need to announce that? How many people at a restaurant? You're like, oh, no, thank you.
What if he doesn't know where the bathroom is and he's trying to ask somebody?
Did you never do? Okay. You're out in public and you're like, dude, I need to take a shit. Can you tell me where the bathroom? You just ask where the restrooms are.
Okay, fine.
The card would simply say, can you show me where the restrooms are?
Can you blow me where the Pampers is?
Unless if he talked in like emoji form, then maybe he'd have like the little.
The poop emoji with the eyes. Poop
emoji. Yeah. Right. Like, because you'd need like a toilet poop question mark or something like that. And then they tell you.
That's less offensive than just, I need to take a shit.
Yeah. It's a little abrasive for most. I think.
I didn't say he's gonna do it in Rome or wherever. Maybe they'll be at a truck stop. The first,
so maybe he has his truck stop like his slang deck when he's just chilling, right?
Like, oh, okay. So it's like Magic the Gathering. He has different decks for different situations. For different
situations.
He has dinner party deck. He has fucking deck. He has dinner with his parents deck.
Yeah, that's right.
Maybe he mixes them up. Look out.
Yeah. But what if he had like a little pocket label maker? Mm-hmm. He was just making little labels from it. Mom, I gotta take a shit. That's from our producer.
Yeah.
She probably helped.
So you're saying he just had a little P-Touch in his pocket and he's just printing up as he goes, right? I don't know. Back then?
You can't CIA money. They had all these trinkets. They had this magical rocket thing that would just stick to your head but not kill you. Not even like daze you a little bit. It was just
a suction cup on the front of the rocket, right?
Right,
kind of.
I guess. They didn't show how it stuck. I just thought it embedded in him, but he was fine.
No, it was like a cone on the front.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought the cone went into his head. And I was like, oh, that's a cool death. And I was like, oh, no, it's not. He's still alive. It's not. I guess they just want to blow him up.
So this movie had like your number one hate in it.
Were there kids in it?
No. They killed the dog.
Oh, I didn't like that at the end. That was completely unnecessary.
Right. I just
rehabilitated.
That dog survived. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, he ball.
Yeah, he survived.
Yeah.
I guess they didn't show a body, so I guess.
All right. See it like tumble out the window.
Right. Mm-hmm. I just know that's your number one rule. I thought that was over kids, but apparently kids, you hate kids more.
If we just watch Signs, so it's fresher in my mind. But yeah, I didn't like it. It definitely
Signs also had dog death in it. So apparently kids really, are there.
And the kids killed the dog.
Yeah.
Well, one dog. The other dog was killed by aliens or demons, depending which theory you're going with. But I guess you don't see the second dog's body, so maybe not. But anyways, you know. But still, you mentioned kids first. I guess that's your number. So your number two hatred movie
would be animal death.
Yeah.
Not just dogs. I don't like watching any animal die. I don't need it. So did you like the Da Vinci stuff at the beginning where he's turning lead into copper or whatever, and he's like, oh, I've made gold.
I love gold.
I mean, it was a plot device.
Yeah.
I think it was cool to use Da Vinci. I mean, I thought the things were a little, it was a little too quick and easy to obtain everything. And then like the last thing they didn't even use them to get, right? Like it was like.
Yeah, they just blew everything up and got it.
Right.
It's like, you could have done that without him the whole time. Right. It was like...
And they worked so hard to get him out of jail. And then Mr. Belvedere showing up and just like slitting people's throats at the drop of a hat. Did you like the Mr. Belvedere character?
Yeah, how did he die? I'm trying to think. I can't remember how he died.
He gets his head cut off.
Oh, right. Yeah, his head.
He's stuck in the door.
Oh, yeah, because he's like.
I just thought he was just going to lean forward. I didn't expect him to get decapitated, but sure, why not? I thought like Sandra Bernhardt's death, like the coppering was much cooler. Bronzing, sorry.
Yeah.
Wrong age. So you guys like the humor.
Like I mean, not all of it, but some of it.
Yeah.
Like I did read that this is Bruce Willis's only writing credit, and then I also read that they were just changing things from day to day.
Yeah.
And I think it's pretty obvious in this movie.
It has his flavor too. Like
oh, absolutely. He
his tone
is magnetic. He's still height of his powers, Bruce Willis in this movie, and it's very likable in it. Even if at times I was like, what is happening in this movie?
Right.
It's David Caruso. I couldn't figure out where he died. And I kept rewinding this movie and looking around and be like, where is he? Where is he? And it's like, oh, right. He's a statue at the end for some reason.
What was their death? He was shot with the arrows. The arrows.
Butterfinger was shot with arrows.
Yeah.
And then, and then what was the other one? Snickers? No.
Yeah, was Snickers and Almond Joy with the bomb, was it?
Yeah, with the bomb.
Oh, with the bomb.
And she gets the Karari dart.
Yeah.
Where when Anna gets hit with a Karari dart, instead of going immediately immobilized like everyone else
does.
She
had to sit in position.
Yeah, she takes like 14 steps and sits down next to Bruce Willis. It was ridiculous. It made no sense. It took me out of the moment. But I did enjoy her interrogation with like the weird dolphin noises.
Yeah.
I don't know. Parts of this movie were really fun.
Yeah, it was. I definitely
didn't all hit, but really, a lot of it was good.
Really crazy. But yeah, there was. You can't take this movie too seriously, right? Like, I think, because I've heard nothing but bad things about this movie coming into it. So much to the point, if anyone was like, you should watch this, I'd be like, I don't think so, right? But I watched it, and I watched it with that mindset going in, right? Like, it is far from a perfect movie or, you know, even perfect comedy. But going in with, like, expectations of less than the floor, I was like, this is not that bad. Like, it was unfairly... It didn't get a fair shake because people didn't get what it was going for.
Well, like we said before, it was marketed as like almost purely an action movie. If you're going in there expecting Die Hard 2 and you sit down to this, you might be a little disappointed.
Right. Yeah. I get that. It was a mistake, but it still has those Bruce Willis tones that people enjoy.
Like the wise guy from Jersey.
Right.
The hawk on the Hudson or whatever. It's his prison slang.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy Danny Aiello's, Tommy?
Tommy Five Tone.
Yeah, Tommy Five Tone, who survives a limousine explosion.
Well, airbags and sprinklers, right?
Yeah. Right. How's that sprinkler system work in that car?
It doesn't.
Are you sure? He's alive on a donkey somehow.
Yeah.
And he doesn't even have to pay for that donkey ride. He just walks away from that guy.
Yeah. That's not real. That's some custom jobber.
Well, of course. What's the villain's name? Not Dante.
Mayflower. Yeah, Mayflower was the name.
Darwin Mayflower.
Darwin. He had money. He bought like the entire CIA or something. I assume he bought the CIA.
He had plenty of money. He did not need, you know, lead to gold machine.
Well, no, their whole plot just to make themselves have all the gold, but then at the same time deflate the value. You know, it was a pretty dumb plan. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
When you're that rich, you're just bored. All right.
Yeah, it was. It was really stupid, but they're not exactly supposed to be likable and genius characters.
When we meet them, Sandra Bullock is listening to I've Got the Power, Snap, which I didn't even write down the length of that song. I don't know, 3 minutes, 30 seconds. She's not singing with the music we're hearing. She's just saying, I got the power at the wrong, and it's annoying.
I think that's probably because they didn't actually have it laced when they were doing it, and it's nowhere near a cadence they could have linked it up, so why even bother at that point?
Yes.
And, you know, make it look like it was an intentional joke. I don't believe it was intentional, but, it you know, why not?
So
they didn't have the rights to the song at that point. Weren't sure they were going to be able to
get it. They weren't sure if they were going to be able to get it.
Yeah.
So do you think they had her do other songs?
Probably not.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They're like, we'll get it.
It's like, or if she's singing it, just singing I've Got the Power, but it sounds nothing like the track version, you know, do they have to pay? You know, they wanted to use it, but would they have to pay to use just that line?
So
I don't know.
I think you would. Like, if you use any song like that, like if I make a movie, but I just quote Tub Thumping by Chumbawamba, 4 minutes, 31 seconds.
Yeah, right.
Would I have to pay?
So if you just if you just had headphones on the movie and you just said, I get knocked down and I get up again.
Yeah.
You don't have to pay them. You're just saying a sentence. If they used another song in the background and it was just you say nonsense over top.
But what if we're at a bar and I say, let's get a whiskey drink. Let's get a vodka drink.
I think it's got to be a lot more than
that. Let's get a vodka drink. Let's get a cider drink.
Right. You're getting into it a little bit. Yeah, right. Like
too much of the lyrics. So I'd have to pay them if I said what flavor or how much of the song I rip off. I was just checking. So the CIA guys are named after candy bars. And last week I made a top five. I made a top four this week of candy bars. My favorite candy bars. Only one of the
Snickers.
Yeah, Snickers. That's number three on my list. It's not number one, but it's the only one.
Kit Kats are good.
Yeah, like
Kit Kats are fine. That's not a Mount Rushmore candy bar.
That might be. You gotta put Snickers up there. You gotta put like Reese's. Or are you counting peanut butter cups as a bar?
I peanut butter cups number two.
Yeah, that's good.
My number four, then, Milky Way, underrated candy bar.
It's a Snickers without the
sometimes you don't want the nuts, man.
The
That's bullshit. It's an incomplete Snickers. There's no you'll eat it if you do not have a Snickers available. But there's never a time where I'm going to put a Snickers and a Milky Way or Three Musketeers in front of you, and you're going to eat either the Milky Way or the Three Musketeers first. And if you do, you're lying to yourself.
Snickers is higher on my list.
Then you don't need the other one on your list. So you're telling me you would, if you could have your top five candy bars unlimited forever, you have Snickers in Milky Way, that you always have the Snickers available. That's a dumb choice. I don't accept it.
What if
I don't accept it?
No! It is wrong. It is wrong!
You don't accept both of those on the list.
I'm flexible on number four. I had to think of four.
No,
it was close to Butterfinger.
Almond Joy and Mounds on the same list.
Almond Joy was on the list. Or, I didn't know. I couldn't decide between Almond Joy and Mounds because my wife gets furious at how I eat Almond Joys. I'll unwrap it and I'll take a bite, but just the nut, and I'll eat the nut off first and then eat it as a Mounds.
Right.
But I tell her I like Almond Joys, and she says I don't eat them properly.
Yeah. I can't think of a candy bar situation where removing the nuts makes it better. I can't. It's always better with the nut variety. Put a little nut on everything. You sprinkle some nut on it. It tastes so much better.
Not everything. My number one candy bar.
All right,
Fifth Avenue. I don't want Fifth nuts Avenues on
are
it.
Not that great. You are
Fifth
old.
Avenues.
What are you? 87 great. Years old.
They're fucking great, man.
Yeah,
I love a Fifth Avenue bar. I even had Payday on here for a while, and I was like, "Now get Payday out
Paydays
here."
Paydays are good, but.
I wouldn't want it as a top. I don't think it's top four worthy.
I can tell you eat too many in a row and they get tiresome. I think if you eat
two in a row, you're done with Paydays for a while.
Well, I don't know if I've told on it, but I famously told that I got one of those market research surveys where they were trying to tinker with the flavor of Paydays, and they're like, "We're gonna give you different Paydays. You know, that we're thinking about changing the formula, and you gotta tell us which one's better. We'll give you cracker in between or water, but we're gonna give you a whole bar, but you probably don't want to eat it because we're gonna give you like 9 bars. But you know, my fat ass, like the first two were there, I was like, nope, nope." Like writing them down, and I
can't
like,
wait by like bar 7. You're like, kill man, me like, now.
It was
kill
like
me.
Like bar 3. I was like, I've made a terrible, terrible mistake. Right? Like, I was like,
I'm surprised they didn't like give you like just like cut one bar in third. Think,
but they were just they were like they were save it was
from
like
yourself.
Fun size. They're like full size.
Oh, I expected full size.
Yeah.
Candy
think
bars.
Just be for a test. You think it would be fun size? You just don't need that much. And I mean
they. They get them free, Ryan, and they work for the company. They got paydays falling out of their ass.
Oh, it was a lot. So, you know, I'm just saying.
Did they take any of your advice, or which payday was your favorite?
You didn't know. It wasn't like it was like Payday X or whatever. It was just like choice one, choice two, choice three. I probably picked something that's because I like paydays. You know, it probably just naturally went to that flavor. Who knows? It was probably they were like, we've got ingredients that are cheaper, you know, and probably cancerous that'll save us a little money. Will people know if we change, you know, because I don't think they ever came out with a new formula, but, you know, like changing from like real sugar to corn syrup or something, you know, it was probably something more like that. Will these suckers be able to tell when we
tell just, the difference if we use a cheaper sugar in our.
Right, right. Like, yeah, it was probably what they were really doing, but who knows? Right.
I mean, you've convinced me. I'll take Milky Way off. I don't want to put Kit Kat on or something.
Kit Kats are great. Kit Kat, okay. Twix. You know, like Twix?
Oh, I'll put a Twix. I'll put a Twix. You know what?
See, I helped you out.
Twix number 4. Definitely. Yeah. Twix is a great candy bar.
I forgot your other number. Are you still, are you out? Are we done? You have more candy bars to tell us about?
No. That's it. It's Fifth Avenue, number 1.
Weird.
Yeah. Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, number 2. Snickers, 3. Now Twix, number 4. Pretty basic.
Did you say 5?
No, I'm doing Mount Rushmore. I said I did 5 last week. That's too much. I barely got to 4 candy bars this week.
No, baby, you didn't put Butterfinger on there?
I took Butterfinger off because I have Fifth Avenue on there. They're very similar.
Simpson's a spokesman for that.
He's not anymore. Now they have like weird, like paranormal hunting people who, you know, you better not be a ghost and steal my Butterfinger.
What about a Baby Ruth? You're not down.
Not with a big Baby Ruth.
Baby Ruth.
Yeah.
It's fine. Yeah. There's not a lot of candy bars. I'll be like, hell no, I'm not going to eat that.
Right. And I think we're going fast and loose when we call Reese's Peanut Butter Cups a candy bar because
they're sold
really...
with the candy bars.
Yeah, but so are M&M's, and I wouldn't call M&M's a candy bar.
Well, that's why I eliminated Skittles, one of my favorite things to eat. Yeah. Sugar not balls. A candy bar.
Right.
Yeah. They're so good. When you get like 40 of them in your mouth and you just crunch them into like a big, like never ending gobstopper of flavor.
Yeah.
You can just feel the sugar like dissolving on your tongue. It's amazing.
But just like Winds of Change by the Scorpions, 501. Let's get back to Hudson Hawk.
Yeah. Why would you pick that, by the way? Winds of Change is not a good song. Did you pick bad songs, or were you just you just go through a random iPod and or, you know, like
most of
iTunes
these,
list?
I'll show you the list. These are not notes for the movie. These are all songs and lengths that I've written down. It's an entire page.
Tell me why you went with Wind
it's
of Change.
It's a 90. I was trying to do most of 90s songs, and I was just clicking through, and I was like, oh, Scorpion.
Clicking through what? Your Spotify. Own
A playlist. It's not one that it's one they suggested for me.
It's hard, and I'll listen to anything, and I understand people like different music.
I enjoy that song.
Oh, I was going to say, you would have to, like, I'd almost be like, sweat. It'd be that sweaty meme with the finger over the button of me trying not to hit the next, like, get rid of Scorpion, Winds of Change.
I listened to it after I left your house last night. It came on, and I listened to it while I was driving home.
All right. Just interesting choice.
I tried to get a lot of different things, you know.
Well, the other things are classic used songs like Chumbawamba. I mean, that's you. I can't remember some of the others you mentioned, but Wind of Change.
Black Eyed Peas.
But I wouldn't have even thought, I wouldn't have guessed Scorpions would have been even something in your regular rotation. But
it's not in my regular rotation.
Next thing you're going to be like, Saigon Kick, Love is on the Way. Is that
on the song? Love the song. I've heard it lately. It's great. I forgot all about Saigon Kick before like it's 2 months ago.
We need to give it some time. 5:36.
I don't know. Someone needs to Google
Saigon Kick. It feels like forever is just what you say. Like never ending. Like it will not stop.
It was Saigon Kick and Silent Lucidity.
Queensryche. It's awful. Just awful, man.
Brian, I'm just desperately wanting Better Than Ezra. 4 minutes 26 seconds.
I mean, at least you're going with a little bit of a deeper. You just didn't go with good. You went with, you know, like another track. So,
Truth Time. That is my alarm. When I wake up in the morning, it's that song.
Why would you make your alarm? I would never make my alarm a song.
If it noises, I tune it out.
I'm just saying, I don't want to hate a song that much. Well, maybe I could put Love is on the Way on, and then I'd be like, I can't hate this song anymore, and I just
maybe it'd wake you up because
it'd make me angry.
You don't want to wake up angry. We're on Easy Street. Wake up! Because I have several different songs, but I rotate through them. I change them when they stop having an effect.
Like the Rocky theme when you get up, that'll get you all pumped. Or
what? I'd have to buy it. Like,
yeah, it's true.
It's purchasing. These are just songs I have, so. It's Come On Ride It, things like that.
Yeah.
You know, This Is How We Do It, Montel Jordan, 3 minutes, 46 seconds. Can you guys tell that the music thing, A, bothered me and also made a really big impression on me that I just
supposed
wanted
to. I enjoyed it. You hated it. It's fine. But that was one of my, like, I thought it was one of the funnier, quirky things.
Did it really bother you? Because you wrote down, you went and did a whole page of songs. You know? I did.
Maybe it inspired me. It annoys me because they're singing their big finale when they're stealing the first, the book or the horse. They're stealing the horse. And instead of getting out of there, they do their big finale. No, just sing that walking. Like, get the fuck out. Let's go.
Did you like the heist? Because I thought the heists were abbreviated and not enough heist. And a lot of times they're real snappy.
No, it's just like the first heist where we'll get like ropes from a swimming pool. And then that cut a hole in the glass, and at least they did the camera, you know, repeat thing that was new technology in Hudson Hawk 1991.
I don't remember. Yeah, that's not right.
On anyone.
Yeah.
Did you like the cage drop on the guard and everything? You know, with the all that with what was in that one? That was the book. Yeah, the book.
That was the book.
With the super poison gas or whatever, because those guys
poison gas in the cage that would kill somebody because it would like smack them on the head when it came down real quick.
He killed several people.
Yeah.
There are so many people around that when he throws whatever Dumbo's name is. It's not Dumbo. It's
Dumbo.
What is the name? I call it Dumbo.
I forgot what he called that. It wasn't. It wasn't an elephant's name. Whenever.
I didn't know if it was like a.
Or at least
you know, something from like his childhood that he like an elephant.
Oh, no, it was the kid's name for the thing or whatever.
Well, yeah, but he's writing the movie, so he could make the kid the elephant name whatever he wants. Like, I'm talking about like Bruce Willis, not Hudson Hawk.
I got you.
You know, just did you like the second heist when he mails himself?
Yeah, that was weird.
To the Popa.
Yeah, the peanuts like stuck to him when they opened him up and everything.
The one thing I related to the Pope when he knocks his TV signal on, the Pope gets up.
Oh,
and, like, and he walks over to bang on the TV. I was like, oh, I'm home.
Yeah, a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Well, unless you still have one of those TVs in your house, I don't know. But
I know. I got rid of. I paid some guy to come and take the last like big like fat TVs out of my house
and drop one off on your porch.
Please don't.
Yeah,
it's already got. I got it. It took me a long time. I had one down in like the room we work out in for a long, long time. They're good. They last forever, Ryan.
Oh, I know.
We're in that. I mean, we had that one black and white TV, that super small black and white TV that.
Yeah.
Was like what, 50 years old?
At least, because we were using it in the '80s, and that was 40 years ago. So. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It was old then. It was old when we were using it. Yeah. I mean, I did say it was a black and white television.
It was black and white after color was mint, but the portable ones they would still make in Welcome to
Circuit City. Black and white. Yeah. I mean, I haven't owned one of those portable ones. When I worked at Lazy Boy, I had one. So I could watch
I found one in one of my like tool bags that I used to use.
Like a handheld one or one you had to plug in?
A handheld. Oh, but you know, it had the little antenna and you pulled up and it had like less than a cell phone screen. I was like, oh, this is cool, but it can't pick up anything anymore. Like, yeah, it's still got RCA cables, so I could hook it up to like
a. Well, can't you get the AV player antenna and plug it into the back of it? And
where? Just, into what? I'd have to like open up the board and try to. Yeah. You know, you'd have to do.
It doesn't. I guess yours is handheld. The one I had was like.
Had like RCA cables. Maybe I could get it somehow to work because it had RCA. Like there's an aux. No, that wouldn't work because it's an aux port. You need some kind of tuner.
Yeah, you need an aux to an RCA. You just have like a daisy box. Chain of technology.
Yeah, just to get it to work to see like a crappy 1.5 inch by 1.75 inch screen or something like that. Yeah,
I bought one from like CVS or Radio Shack that was probably like a 6 inch screen that was all black and white. And that's what I would watch. Like, if I had to work on a Sunday, I could watch a Skins game. I remember I watched the first Nationals game ever on that TV. Yeah. So that's what around the time frame was. So that's the last time I watched black. And is that when they came in?
I believe, yeah. That's when their first season.
That's about right. Well, let's get back to this bittersweet symphony. The Verve, 5 minutes and 44 seconds.
Yeah. Also too long.
What, the song is?
Yeah.
I said, my original bit is I was only going to do songs with the title one. So it was going to be the Creed one. It was obviously Metallica, U2. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's others.
Right.
And it's fair that would get very old. This is more fun. This is also probably very old for people. They're like, stop naming 90s songs.
Yeah, it makes sense with the movie.
Yeah. A bit I'm doing is actually on brand for the movie.
Yep.
All right, so... I'm trying to think what else. So we talked about the heists.
Yeah.
What did you think of his chemistry with Annie and their love? Like, is she giving up the priesthood?
That's what I was going to
ask. Or the sisterhood?
Do you think did she walks away, or it sounds like she's going to walk away, but it wasn't specifically clear whether she was going to walk away or she was just taking a loose interpretation that she was allowed to have a relationship.
What is the church's stance on finger banging?
The power of Christ compels you!
In what stage of relationship?
They're not married. I mean, obviously, do you think they're going to get married so he can finger blast?
He would have
to. You don't think Hudson Hawk has already got with her. I'm not saying they slept together, but he's definitely tuned in, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I do. I'm understanding what you're saying, but yeah. I would imagine it would be a sin in the eyes of the Pope in that church if they were not married to do that, especially with someone.
Right.
Who's taken a vow of celibacy as she has. So
yeah, she's a bride of Christ or what, right?
Yes, something like that, yeah. But yes, it's kind of a no-no.
And they say Hudson Hawk is an evil man, the one priest with, like, the super pointy head.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So is he not evil anymore because they won in the end?
No, I mean, he'd still have to be forgiven, right? Like... The great thing in most religions is you can always be forgiven in some way, whether it's ceremony or confession or whatever. They always want you to come back in because they don't get money when you're out. Oh, should I say that out loud?
Ryan, yeah.
Right, like, don't tell anybody. They always
think we're okay. In the club. Hudson Hawk, right. We're going to be fine. Hudson Hawk finger blasts the nun in this movie.
Right.
Allegedly,
I don't know what kind of movie you watched.
I didn't see that scene. I mean,
You wanted to believe that, and that's fine. If you want to believe it,
that's where the... I mean, if Tony 8-Tone or whatever doesn't show up on the donkey, they're definitely fucking in like 30 seconds. Because Hudson Hawk doesn't even care that Tony's dead. Or Tommy, whatever his name is.
If she really wants to be with him, she can leave. I just feel like he's not the type of character from what we've seen that's going to lock himself into a committed relationship that she'd probably want after the cup of coffee. In a harrowing cup of coffee. Like, a lot's gone on.
Is that his first cup of coffee in 10 years or
that
whatever?
That was another gag that we didn't do. He liked his coffee every time. Yeah, I couldn't get it. Yeah, his cappuccino he wanted, right? Like, that was what he's trying to get.
In the car, when the foam gets knocked off, you can still drink it without the foam.
Yeah. He didn't want to.
You haven't had it in 10 years?
Yeah, I would have drank
it. I think he's drinking... No, you're drinking McDonald's fucking bullshit coffee.
Well, I'm saying, if it was given to me like that and the foam spilled off, I would still drink what was in the cup, is what I'm saying.
Coffee, no!
Yeah, oh, okay. I thought you were like, no, I'm not doing it if it's not perfect after I get out of prison.
It was weird also to see a cappuccino in one of those street cart blue and white coffee.
Cups or... Yeah,
it was the New York anything. You'd go to a cart and you'd get like an egg sandwich and one of those coffees for $2. And the only option was, do you want half and half and white table sugar? And it was like boom, like a thing of sugar in there if you wanted it. And it wasn't
delicious.
Terrible, but there's no options. There was never one of those carts like, I'd get you a cappuccino with foam. But it was weird to have that cup is the only thing I'm saying. But I guess he used them in his bar or wherever was. But it was a... It made me go, huh, right? Like, that's not what was in those cups back when I was walking around those streets, right?
Well, maybe things changed in the 10 years.
No, that was before I was, I was there 2006 to 2008. This is 1991.
They did it in 91. They're like, this is dumb. We should stop doing it for like a while.
A cup's a cup. Anybody can use anything for a to-go cup. But that's what I picture when I think of those cups is those street carts out in New York. That's what I think of. Makes me want a coffee right now, actually. But I'm not going to do it.
I really want a coffee as well. Although I drank like 7 coffees watching this movie.
We're not drinking coffee.
I'm not. I'm having my ices. I'm going to ice myself into a nice sleep tonight.
You probably don't need that at midnight either, honestly.
No. You got to keep the pipe lubricated, Ryan.
Right.
What am I supposed to drink? Water?
Yeah.
I mean, we are living a semi-charmed life, Ryan. Third eye blind, 4 minutes, 28 seconds.
Right. You're going to have more songs left on that list than we have time to talk about unless you start doing them during the game and stuff.
I might just start throwing them out during the game, at the end of the episode, I might be like, hey, stay, Lisa Loeb, 3 minutes even.
Yeah, that ends on a perfect 3 minutes. I find that hard to believe.
The version I got on Spotify, she timed it out perfectly and made a perfect song. I believe, share, or just believe, by the way, share. It's
I believe is Blessed Union of Souls or whatever. Like, yes,
I could look it up on my playlist, but I'm not going to. I did believe, share, 3 minutes and 50 seconds. Okay. I'll get them out, Ryan. I'll get them out.
Yeah.
But on that note, let's go to a break, and we'll come back with that game right after this.
Money will always be paper, but gold will always be gold.
We're back from that break, and Love is on the Way by Saigon Kick. 4 minutes and 22 seconds. I looked it up during the break, Ryan, because Heaven doesn't have a name.
So unpredictable, I gotta tell you.
Jeremy Renner, 3 minutes, 14 seconds.
Why did that sound familiar? I forgot that. First, I thought when you said Heaven, I was like, is he going like Heaven is a Place on Earth? Belinda Carlisle? Is he going like
that's a good one.
Just Bryan Adams Heaven? I didn't know which Heaven you were going with.
No, just that one. Yeah. I'm just trying to get through this list as fast as possible.
Okay, gotcha.
So I'm getting close to the end. But, of course, you guys know what time it is. It's Pop Quiz Hot Shot.
Yeah, I heard you, Hot Shot. What? I said Hot Shot.
And we're joined by our producer, E.
Game on, good guys. All right. Thank you so much for taking an in-depth look at this hidden gem, this ridiculous movie, Hudson Hawk. It was a movie that I loved growing up. And in honor of Hudson Hawk, we're going to play a different pop quiz variant, something we haven't done before. Ram, you're not going to believe this. This game is called Game That Tune.
I'm so glad we're on a number and we got to guess what track it is.
Where I'll give you a movie. And then you guys need to guess what the hit song is that is an iconic song from that movie. And then I'm going to have you guys go up against each other, head to head to head again, and guess how long of a heist you could pull off during that song. Okay?
Okay.
Whoever comes closest gets the point. Rob, if you can help me keep track of the score. And if you guys have it up first. So no points for the movie. You know, we'll just try and figure out the movie. And most of the time, I think it's going to be obvious. Then we'll throw out our numbers for how long we think the song is. So if you guys have it, let's hit that game show music. We kick things off with The Karate Kid.
Glory of Love. It was the Peter Cetera song.
Yeah.
Right?
But Cruel Summer, too.
I was thinking of
Panorama.
Very particular song. I think this is something that's used, might have been Ram's ringtone.
Oh, you're the best around. It is 1,000,000% still my ringtone.
It's still your ringtone.
I haven't found a better one.
The song I'm looking for is You're the Best. All right. So how long of a heist do you think you could pull off during You're the Best?
314. Oh, no, it's longer than that. 414.
I mean, my ringtone is only like a minute 30.
Yeah, but that's just like the hook, right?
So I'm going to, over and over again. It's the best ringtone in the world. In a time when no one uses ringtones anymore. It is 4 minutes, 45 seconds.
Well, I think it's like 3 minutes, 40 seconds.
Rob gets this one. Get him a body bag! Yeah! It is actually 3 minutes and 44 seconds.
Well, damn, this is a Blue Monday by Orgy. 4 minutes and 27 seconds.
Whatever.
Yeah, that's the cover, right? It's the cover.
All right, next up, Batman Forever.
Kiss from a Rose?
No, it's the U2 song.
Oh, it is Kiss from a Rose
by Seal.
What's the U2 one?
This was the big song. I mean, the U2 song was big, but this song was bigger. And if you remember, people were upset that it couldn't get a Grammy because it was actually not written for the movie. The U2 song was written for the movie.
This one's over 4 minutes. This is, what did I say, the last one, 470? This one is 427.
This one is 505.
Could be. You could be on spot on that. It feels like this one's a long one.
It feels like it.
Yeah.
I'll say 4 minutes.
Ram gets this one. It is 4 minutes and 40 seconds long.
Holy rested metal, Batman!
Huh? We could pull off a decent heist during that. The radio edit is only 338. So I'm guessing there's another verse, and he goes
there's
back.
There's a bunch of him cussing.
Yeah. I think they just had to shorten it, because I think it just loops.
It was 440?
447.
Yeah. Oh, 447.
Okay. All right. Next up, Peacemaker.
George Clooney movie, not the John Cena TV show.
No, the John Cena TV show. Yeah,
it was
the George Clooney movie.
Wigwam, right?
It is Wigwam, yes.
In the George Clooney movie, the guy
who remember a single song from Peacemaker?
That's what I'm saying. The guy who's doing the bomb was like a pianist, and he might have been known for one song. No, I don't know what that
Peacemaker,
is.
Peacemaker, it even looped through the whole thing, was Put It In Her Mouth. That was like the commercials and everything. You don't remember that?
In her motherfucking mouth?
Yeah. You don't remember that? It was my neck, my back, you know? You know, we're all a Peacemaker.
That was the Red Band trailer. That was the Red Band
trailer. He needs the editing software he needs to make this trailer happen.
We win. I doubt that would have came out and listened to it a bunch of times, but I don't feel like it was very long.
Right. Do you want to taste it?
Yeah. Taste it. Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. This is like 3 flat almost. I'm gonna say like 303. This is short.
I believe it's 324.
Memory, huh?
I have it on a playlist. I have a bunch. I will be honest. Kilimanjaro.
As much as I listen to music and like music, I very rarely pay attention to runtime. Right? It's not something I look at.
I've been undercutting you. I'm going to go higher. I'm going to say 350.
Ryan gets this one.
Batman doesn't kill people
because he's a pussy.
It is 258. It is a short song.
Yeah.
Quick heist. One. Woohoo. The quick boost. All right. Next up.
Smash and grab.
Exactly. Next up, The Bodyguard.
Whitney Houston.
I will always love you.
Right. I will always love you. Her
that
version
got
of
some
the song.
Length to it. Yeah, yeah. Not Dolly Parton or anyone else that's covered it since. This one's got some length.
Yeah.
512. I think this one's going right there.
501.
I'll say 445.
Clear the mechanism.
Rob gets this one.
Damn it.
4 minutes and 49 seconds long.
I did like they name checked her
the national anthem she did for the Giants Bill Super Bowl in 90 at that like 8 minutes and 15 seconds or something.
Oh, yeah, that was cool. That's right.
I forgot it was that long, but it's probably the only national anthem I remember from sport besides like Roseanne Barr.
Houston's always the one everyone thinks of.
Yeah.
All right, here's something from our back catalog. The Crow.
Can't rain all
Stone Temple Pilots.
Yeah. No, it's Ryan's got it. It's It Can't Rain All the Time by James Syberry. I don't even know if anyone's ever listened to the whole song.
Nope. We'll say it's 3:42. I'd have no idea. It'd be funny if I nail that at 3:42, too. That would be shocking.
2:53.
I'm going to say this is a long one. This is 7:37.
Oh, please don't round me up.
I mean, I need help figuring out who's closest because this song is 5 minutes and 35 seconds. So is that Rob?
It's Rob or Ryan. Is that me?
Yeah.
I think it's Rob.
I don't even remember.
There's a lot of time. Said, to be honest. It takes up a lot of time when she sings It Can't Rain All the Time.
What is it? 5 minutes what?
5 minutes and 35 seconds.
No, Ryan's a little closer.
Can't rain all the time.
All right. You just overshot it. It was a long song. All right, one more from our back catalog, guys. Armageddon.
Oh,
leaving on a jet plane?
No, it's the Aerosmith.
Of course it is.
Yeah,
I don't want to think of another song.
It is Aerosmith. It is. I don't want to miss a thing.
Yeah,
way too long.
I figured that'd be your jam. I want to say
I'm not a big Aerosmith guy.
Yeah, 4:52.
Comes in at a lean 5 minutes and 25 seconds. I feel I'm really high on every song I do.
Yeah.
Songs are usually shorter.
They're like 3 to 4 minutes typically, but some of these anthem songs, like this one chooses to be, they stretch it out a little bit. That's why I gave it a little juice.
Yeah, like how long is November Rain? Like 8 minutes?
Oh, November Rain is long.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's like 11 minutes. It's like 11.
Yeah,
I'm effing the game for November Rain.
I'll go 4:10.
All right, I think Ryan's got this one. This was just shy of 5 minutes, 4:59.
Begging your pardon, sir, but it's a big-ass sky.
Yeah. I know my Diane Warren.
And apparently you do pay attention to some of these run times because I think you've gotten a lot of these. All right, so guys, we are going to finish this set list by bringing it home with Hudson Hawk. I think Ram might. If Ram's got this written down, he's got an unfair advantage.
I don't, by the way.
Okay.
What was the main song of this movie? I just watched this one and I'm like, I don't know.
It's just the first heist. So I've got Swinging on a Star. And they mention the length of time that they have.
Yeah, I think it was 3 minutes and something, but I'll say you said 3:16. I'll say 3:24. I'm only going
3:16 because Stone Cold told me to.
I'll say 3:44.
I think Rob's getting this one. What they say is that they have 5 minutes and 32 seconds to pull off the heist.
5:32, swinging on a star.
So it's 5:32.
Oh, okay. Oh, maybe 3:16 was one of the ones they rejected because it's too short.
Because it was too short. That's probably it. All right, good guys. Excellent work. Good game. And I guess this time was a winner, Ryan?
It was a tie between me and Ryan.
Yeah, not me.
Winner is you two. All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you. Got me wrong. Alice in Chains, 4:04. And I didn't do it this week. You know, I'm drowning face down, saving Abel, 3 minutes and 38 seconds. I told you I'm going to get as many of them out as I can.
Yep.
But we're at Co is G, Co is B for Hudson Hawk. Going in, I had reservations because it's widely considered a terrible, terrible movie. If you like Bruce Willis, you're gonna like this movie. This movie is his humor. This is not a bad movie. It may not be for everybody, but if you go in expecting Die Hard, you're gonna be annoyed. It's not that. This is its own thing. This is a very lukewarm Co is G for me. Rob, what did you think of Hudson Hawk?
Yeah, I remember liking it. What bits I had seen before. Like I said, I think I mentioned before, never watched it. Never saw the Leonardo, Da Vinci stuff before. Like, I always came in on random bits. Yeah, I thought it was a fun watch. I mean, I knew what I was getting into, and I knew how that had a bad rap and everything. But not all the humor hits, but I thought enough of it hit that I was enjoying the ride. You know, it was a fun time. I think people should check it out. Go with G.
All right. Well, we're down to one last breath. Creed, 3:49, Ryan.
You Rangers fan now?
Of course not. I'm a Creedaholic or whatever they call their fans. a Creedite. I am in my own prison when it comes to that, though. Also, Creed 449. That's right. Creed is on this list twice. What did you think of Hudson Hawk?
I mean, I'm kind of where you are. So I came in knowing nothing other than it had been panned completely. So I say, I don't know if I said on mic, off mic, but I came in lower than the floor and it wasn't that bad. Is it great? Far from it. But I think what you mentioned is it's Bruce Willis' style of comedy, like you mentioned. It's kind of a hot mess in its pacing, and the third act is really crazy. But I was kind of hoping one of you would say B so I could just like jump on B and not be the one to do. But I don't really think it's bad. It's just would I recommend it again? Similar like Reagan said, if you really like, I almost said Tony Hawk because of Hudson Hawk, and that's not right. If you really like Tony Hawk, yeah, I don't think you're gonna like this very much. I don't think you will. If you really like Bruce Willis, right, like you are going to be fine with this movie. I don't even think it's, even if you like Bruce Willis, you're not going to put in like your top five Bruce Willis movies, but you're still going to like it. So I think your expression of lukewarm, or, you know, like, since we don't have the it's okay, I'm going to give it the good simply because it was better than what I thought it would be. Now, if we watch this again on a rewatch later, I probably would not give it a good because I know what to expect, and I'd watch it again and I'd tear it apart. But on this watch, I'll give it the G.
Of course Hudson Hawk is. Come on. It's still good. Roll credits. The good guys win.
Sequels are made.
Make sure to stay until after the credits for a bonus scene and check out the show notes for links, trailers, and clips about Hudson Hawk. Rob, where can the good people find us?
We are CoSG Pod on Threads, Instagram, Gmail, and the internet at large. Download the show on our new home, Spotify. We're also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Podcast Addict, where our show notes look perfect. If you'd like to know more, drop us a line. Hailing frequencies are open.
I want to thank my brothers Rob and Ryan and our producer E. Special thanks to our social media team and all of our supporters. Thank you, good people, for listening, liking, subscribing, and reviewing. You guys are the best. If you're new to the show, be a good person and leave us a 5-star review, or you won't be attending that hat convention in July. And if you want to be great people, recommend us to a friend. Remember, money will always be paper, but new subscribers will always be gold. It's all for the greater good.
The greater good.
For the good guys, this is your undefeated champion, Reagan, and it's Closing Time by Semisonic. 4:31. As we always say on the CoSG, he was licking me.
Running in the bathroom like, I gotta shit!